Would you say that boy has achieved a very high spiritual living? Like,
yes, yes. For the sake of the recording, there was a young man, 28 years old, named Matthew, who just reposed. And he had Down syndrome and other men. And Down syndrome is basically, there's a lot of things that you can have wrong with Down syndrome. There is some retardation, mental retardation. There is often heart problems and other problems. And he was simple. He wasn't stupid, but he was simple. But he was holy. He loved holy things. He loved being in his icon corner. He had spiritual experiences all the time. He always smiled. He was always kind. He was always good. It just wasn't like a regular person. And he lived like an angel.
So, he had God in his heart.
He had God in his heart. We have this problem in the West, basically in modern life, I think even in ancient life, that men and women think because of our intellect, we can apprehend things because of our mind. And if someone doesn't have as sharp a mind as us, their life experience is not as robust. It doesn't take intelligence, as in being able to read, write, and do arithmetic, to be able to apprehend God. It takes holiness. The soul, I believe this with all my heart, the soul, I know this, but this is absolutely true. The soul of a person who, let's say, is, by our definition, mentally retarded, is normal. The soul is normal. The soul of an autistic child who's always doing whatever, has tics or sometimes screams or other things that happen, their soul could likely be completely normal and able to actually see spiritual things and experience spiritual things. And in the case of Matthew, he just didn't do bad things. He was just a good young man. And so he was like an angel. So his parents, of course, are sad that he reposed, but they're also glad because they had the privilege of being in the presence of an angel for 28 years. It's hard. I mean, a Christian shouldn't be overly sad that they lose a loved one that was so good. That would not be a Christian way of looking at it. Of course, they love him. They miss him. There's the sorrow of his death, of course, but there's the gladness that they had the privilege of being with him for 28 years.
Being with a saint.
And being with a saint, yeah. So I actually told his father that I'm going to pray for him. I have this list of people who died suddenly. He didn't die, probably not completely unexpectedly. He had a short illness and he died. It's very common for people with Down syndrome to have different problems, especially heart problems. The smallest thing they could die from, pneumonia or just a cold. And I don't know what his exact problem was. He was mostly in a wheelchair. I think he could stand, but he was mostly in a wheelchair. And there's a lot of health problems associated with that. So I told his father that I'm going to add him to Daniel's list and pray for him, mostly for my sake and for his father's sake and his family's sake. Because we have this tradition that when we pray for someone who's blessed, they pray for us. Now, you don't always know who's blessed and who's not. And if you know someone's blessed, you stop praying for them. You ask them their prayers.
To pray for you.
But if you don't know, your grandmother's a wonderful, godly person. She dies. You think she's a saint, but there's no revelation of it for sure. So you pray for her. Maybe you also talk to her. And she prays for you if she's blessed. So there's sort of a double good happening when you pray for the dead. You're not only praying for them because of love, because you remember them, and believing that God is love and God will do the best for them. And also, they would pray for you if they are able to do such a thing. So that's why I'm going to pray for Matthew.